Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin. So what are your rights as a patient if your medical procedure doesn't work out? A patient approached a plastic surgeon sometime back in 2013 to remove a bony, benign lump on his forehead and at the same time perform surgeries on his upper and lower eyelids. And while the outcome of the surgeries on his forehead and lower eyelids went well, the patient was unhappy with the look of his upper eyelids, which were still swollen. The patient decided to take matters into his own hands using traditional therapy to reduce the swelling, even despite being advised against it. This eventually led to a worsening of the whole situation, the aesthetic appearance of his upper eyelids, eye irritation, discomfort, sensitivity to light, and asymmetrical appearance. It ultimately led to a lawsuit against the plastic surgeon for negligence, seeking damages that were not specified in the judgment, but the judge threw out the suit. So today we're all about understanding the concept of duties of care in the doctor-patient relationship. We're very pleased to have with us Dr. Martin Huang, accredited plastic surgeon, and Justin Chan, who's senior partner and head of dispute resolution practice at Tito Isaac & Co. Good morning, Dr. Huang and Justin. How are you both?
Morning, Michelle. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Doc, we're going to start with you. There's a lot of medical terminology in this case, but I want to simplify it for our listeners. So can you tell us more about the key operations at the heart of this patient's dissatisfaction and what those operations were meant to treat?
Well, there's really only one key operation involved, and that was an upper blepharoplasty. An upper blepharoplasty is a cosmetic surgery procedure of the upper eyelid. And it is usually done to improve the appearance of the upper eyelid and to address whatever issues or problems that are bothering the patient. It is an exceedingly common operation, and it is performed very widely in Singapore as well as other countries by plastic surgeons.
Well, I think, you know, we read about this all the time, the surgery that can lift your upper eyelids that might be drooping because of age. Do you see this particular procedure gaining popularity here in Singapore, Doc?
Well, it has always been a very popular procedure. And over the years, it has been gradually increasing in popularity as more and more people become interested in this type of procedure. Another possible reason why it is increasing in frequency is our population is aging, and it's very common for aging to affect the appearance of the upper eyelid. And people tend to notice that because it makes them look older and more tired. And so more and more middle-aged and aging patients are also seeking treatment for this problem.
Interesting. Now, we know that any surgical procedure, you know, has attendant complications. So post-operatively, can you share with us what are some possible complications of this particular type of surgery?
Medical type of complications, complications of a medical nature include bleeding, bleeding after the surgery and a blood clot being present in the surgical wound. That's not a good thing because it can actually be dangerous. So during a blepharoplasty, surgeons pay a lot of attention to stopping the bleeding in order to minimize the risk of this complication. Infection is a possibility, but it's a rare complication in eyelid surgery because the eyelid tissues have a very good blood supply, and that helps it to resist infection well. So in terms of medical complications, they are relatively rare. The other type of complication that can occur would be the complications of a cosmetic nature where the outcome of the surgery was not good enough to satisfy the patient. And that is something that all plastic surgeons have to face and deal with when they treat these patients.
All right. In terms of this particular case, post-operatively, the patient, according to reports, used traditional therapies to deal with the complications he was experiencing, including something like using eggs that were heated. Have you ever heard of this non-traditional recovery method?
I've heard of it, and I don't think it's a useful thing to do at all, because when tissues are healing after surgery, you don't really want to subject them to heat, because heat stimulates the circulation. It can increase inflammation and swelling, and it certainly does not facilitate recovery. If anything, you want to do the opposite. You want cold, not heat. So it's far better to apply ice packs to the area without pressure. Just make it cold versus heat. And massaging the area with something warm, like a hot egg, the massaging action is also not helpful at all. And in fact, it can be harmful, because that physical action of massaging the eyelid is really a form of trauma. So you're traumatizing the area, you're stimulating the circulation further, you increase the risk of bleeding, you may loosen some of the stitches that have been placed just from the friction caused by the rubbing effect. So that's an absolute no-no after surgery.
Dr. Huang, earlier on you clarified an important point, and because this is a common surgery, I think it might be worth sharing with our listeners that point that you made. Why is this not an easy surgery?
Well, it's not easy. No cosmetic operation is easy, because we are doing it to make the patient look better. And cosmetic patients by nature are very detailed and particular. Furthermore, our eyes are very sensitive to picking up imperfections and asymmetries. Our eyes are sensitive enough to pick up an asymmetry of half a millimeter. So, for example, after an upper blepharoplasty, if one double eyelid crease is half a millimeter higher than the other, the patient and the surgeon will be able to see it. It's perceptible. So we have virtually no margin for error in our work. Of course, we try our best to achieve that perfection, but we know that it's usually unattainable. So that's where communication before the surgery with the patient becomes very important. And they must be made to understand that we will do our best for them, but at the same time, it'll be impossible to obtain a perfect result with perfect symmetry.
Thank you for helping us understand the medical terminology and the deeper sort of the medical side of this case, I should say. Now, in this particular case, the man alleged that his doctor had failed to advise him of the possible consequences of the procedure, failed to plan and discuss with him the various treatment options, and failed to provide adequate treatment. The case was thrown out by the judge. Justin, help us understand the legalities here. First up, what can a patient do if the patient thinks that a procedure hasn't gone according to what he expected, he or she?
Well, there are a couple of legal recourses. But firstly, could I just ask, Michelle, are you a bit sensitive about your eyes now? So after hearing Doc for quite a bit, I'm like wondering whether I need some kind of procedure as well.
Oh, I've looked at this blepharoplasty, which is difficult to pronounce, but it looks like it could take 10 years off anybody's life. And especially with us all on Zoom, it seems like a good idea, because you think about it and it seems like such a small area of the eye. But having heard of the possible complications that could happen, you know, I certainly am thinking twice about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true as well. But I'm sure it's a one-off case. Yeah, I mean, if you've been aggrieved by your doctor, there are a couple of recourses. I mean, you can sue the doctor directly. Some people sue the doctor as well as the clinic or hospital he's being employed with. Or sometimes there's a complaint to the Singapore Medical Council. Now, there are a couple of differences here. When you sue a doctor, the doctor has done his job poorly. When you sue the hospital or the clinic, there's some kind of vicarious liability. be it that they are the employer of the doctor or they are the employer, they own the premises, things of that nature, right? So it's basically, some people like this option because they are of the mindset that a hospital would have deeper pockets, for example, than an individual who's the doctor. One thing I should say is that as far as complaints to the medical council are concerned, the medical council has no obligation to ask the doctor or hospital to give you any damages, although that can happen as part of some kind of amicable resolution.
So the judge threw out this suit. The judge said that the clinic and the plastic surgeon had adequately advised the plaintiff about the treatment procedures and that, you know, patient dissatisfaction is sort of subjective opinion. Let me ask you, if we drill down to this concept of duty of care, and I'm going to put this to both of you, but Justin, maybe you could weigh in first. What is the duty of care owed by a doctor to a patient?
The Court of Appeal, I mean, our highest court, has recently defined what a duty of care in term medically is. And as far as medical practice is concerned, it's three things. Properly diagnose, properly advise, and properly treat. So the duty of care has three elements, right? A doctor could fail in their duty of care across all three elements or any one of those three elements. It's not meant to be a block. It's not meant to be bundled together, so to speak.
Dr. Huang, can you help us understand duty of care from your perspective?
Yes, I agree with what Justin said. Our job is to make the correct diagnosis, to advise on the best treatments and solutions to the problem, and of course, to carry them out to a certain minimum standard. And in addition, when we communicate with the patient and if we were to recommend a procedure to them, we need to explain the benefits and the risks and the alternatives. This is what is required of us. So it's something that we need to do properly with every patient.
That's great. That's great information for our listeners as well. I mean, you can take on the responsibility yourself and think in terms of the benefits and the risks and the possible consequences. So ask those questions if you feel you haven't got enough information in that regard in those three areas. How can one tell if that particular doctor, Justin, has breached duty of care and when you should get a second opinion?
Oh, wow. That's the litmus question there. So I think take and follow on what the good doctor has said, which is me. He referenced we a lot, we as doctors, we as practitioners. So the test is, if you have diagnosed, advised, and treated according to what a responsible, a good enough number of doctors would have done similarly in a similar case, then you've not reached your duty of care. It's when you divert away from a commonly recognized procedure, then you might be in trouble. The caveat here is that it tends to become a battle of expert witnesses in court. So you've got this accredited doctor versus that accredited doctor, and the court has to apply their mind and look at each doctor's evidence and prefer one or prefer parts of one over the other.
All right, before we let you go, Dr. Huang, what is good practice from a doctor's perspective when you're advising a patient to do with this particular procedure, blepharoplasty?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we need to explain the benefits, the risks, and the alternatives to the patient. And in particular, because we're dealing with a cosmetic procedure where it's all about appearance and it's all about looking as good and as perfect as possible, We need to explain to patients that we will, although we are trying our best for them, it's usually not possible to attain perfection. And some degree of imperfection or flaws may still remain after the surgery, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it has failed.
All right. Well, Thank you both so much for coming on board and sharing your thoughts with our audience this morning here on Money FM 89.3. Really appreciate it. Justin Chan is Senior Partner and Head of Dispute Resolution Practice at Tito Isaac & Co. And Dr. Martin Huang is an accredited plastic surgeon, helping us understand your rights as a patient if a medical procedure doesn't work out. This is Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin. Thanks for your company.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.